I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to see such a packed house tonight on Saturday. You are the smart ones. And I hope you enjoy your scrambled egg breakfast tomorrow while we're working here at Concordia. As we come to this Transfiguration Day, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace. Whenever two or three are gathered, what a blessing. And especially to behold, even from this distance in time, the glory of your Son Jesus transfigured before his disciples. May he, through faith, be transfigured before our hearts, that we may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. Help us now to listen to him in Jesus. Amen. When he came off the mountain, we forget quickly what happens next. When Jesus returned to the plains, along with his disciples, what happens next is as important, arguably even more important than what happened while he was with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. The next day, after Jesus came down from the mountain, on the plain, he was met by a great crowd of people. And while he interacted with this crowd of people, one man from it cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look favorably at my son. He is my only child, and there is something significantly wrong with him. A spirit will seize him, and he cries out in hysterics and convulses and foams at the mouth, and in these tremendously freighted words, the father says, this spirit shatters him. I've been in a lot of hospital rooms with parents whose children are gravely ill. I have yet to hear one say, my child is shattered. After Jesus with his disciples comes off the mountain, what greets him on the plains is a life by the telling of the Father that is shattered. And this shattering spirit hardly, we are told, hardly leaves this child. So frequent this demonic possession is. That's what greets Jesus when he comes off the great mountain of Transfiguration. But that's not enough. The Father continues, I begged your disciples to cast this demon out, but they could not do it. Not only is the life of the child shattered, the capacity of those first Christian disciples is compromised. They can't make anything happen in order to give answer to the Father's heartache regarding his shattered-lived child. Jesus cries out, this first day, he just got back from vacation. Wouldn't you know it? You come back from vacation, you go back to work, and everything is messed up, and you spend half the day putting your workplace back together. You come back from vacation, you go outside in the garden, and you realize your neighbors didn't water the flowers properly. They're all dead. Jesus comes back from vacation. He sees a shattered life, incapable disciples. He blurts out, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? but bring your son here. Bring your son here. And you know what's coming. Even before the son got there, the demon repulsed in terror, convulsed the shattered child, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and then the best thing of it all, he says to the dad, here's your son. And he is shattered no more. One day after the transfiguration, and Luke tells us in a single solitary verse, at the end of this ordeal on the plains, verse 43 of Luke chapter 9, and they were all astonished at the majesty of God. My brothers and sisters, if the glory of God is reserved for the mountain, God help us. But the majesty of God and the glory that is revealed, it is not just for the mountain. It's also for the plains. And even more so when we find ourselves in life's valleys. This Transfiguration Day is not just for us to go up and have some kind of vicarious experience through those disciples up on the mountain. It is to celebrate the fact that Jesus not only came off the mountain in order to settle the shattered life that was presented to him by that destitute father, but he came not only from the mountain, he came from heaven to the plains in order for all of us to see the glory of the Lord. For all of us to know that in the quiet shattering of our lives, that Jesus Christ gives answer to them. And before we can even make it to the Savior, while we're in the midst of our sin and convulsion and repulsion, Jesus rebukes the spirit, says, come out of him, come out of you. And by God's grace, the glory of the Lord is revealed in us. And it is by faith from first to last. I'm grateful to share life on the plain with you today. And to remind you that after several weeks with a lot of to-do lists being made about what our repentance and our discipleship is to look like, the fact of the matter is, even in the midst of that amending and remaking of our sinful lives, we still deal with the shatter that overwhelms. But tonight, Jesus says to you, I am your Savior for life on the plain. And from among the crowd that gathers here tonight, he even hears your voice cry out, and asks you to do things that you even question whether or not can be realized in your life. As we always do here at Concordia, it is an opportunity for another altar call, and for you as you come and place knees on the cushion tonight, as you come to receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, in, with, and under the bread and wine, that you would come knowing that the glory of the Lord is revealed here tonight, because with his body and blood comes the full assurance of heaven. Your sins are forgiven. Your shattered life is being restored. And a new day is coming. Beyond the plain, beyond the mountain, when with Christ in heaven, we see his glory, and it is majestic, and you are healed. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, now guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forever.